Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
Joanna Fortune joins us once again. Joanna, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm just actually forgot to take out my questions. Oh, there it is. Right, okay. Okay, here's your first question. Hi, Joanna. We are parents of a 6, 5 and 3-year-old. Crikey. Myself and my husband are really struggling with how to best approach our 5-year-old son's behaviour. He has always gotten very angry, but over what we do not know. It could be the colour of a spoon, not having a striped T-shirt, not a soft enough jumper. Since starting school, things have escalated out of control. He now lashes out at siblings and every day it's become a real battle. We get the school bus at 7:40 a.m. so he picks out clothes the night before, but then we'll get up in the morning and yell that he's not wearing them. Or if I ask who wants porridge, he will say yes. Then I will put in his blue bowl with blue matching spoon and that has to be the one, and he screams again, "I said I don't want to take it out." That is how the rest of the day plays out, even just getting in and out of the car. We spend time with each child individually each day, and I've tried talking to him, rewards and charts and taking time out, and we're all at a complete loss. Please, if you have any tips that may help, it would be much appreciated. We're at our wit's end, and both his siblings really do not like the stress in the house.
I mean, what a busy house anyway, with a 6, 5 and 3-year-old. So the fact that you're managing to spend time with them individually each day is quite an achievement, given, you know, you've such an early start and getting everyone in and out of the house. So, I mean, I suppose what I'm really interested in this one, you know, aside from his behaviour, is actually his particular insistence on specific colours, specific textures, blue spoon, blue bowl, don't put it in the bowl. How things seem to be okay and then in the moment they're not okay, how things have escalated since starting school, things like that. I'm actually wondering if anyone has ever suggested doing a sensory profile assessment on this child. And if not, I would look into that if I were you. An occupational therapist really does those assessments. And because he's 5, he might still just qualify for the early years intervention team. So contact your local health centre. Maybe you need a GP referral in your area, but I'd start by contacting the local health centre and try to get him referred to the early years team, which tends to be for 5 and under. And they will probably do a multidisciplinary assessment, but it would include OT and a sensory profile. Now, as always, and I say that, you know, I'm a fan of use the public system because it's there, but be aware that the waiting time for public services, particularly for children, are less than ideal. And given this is already causing such stress in the house, if it is an option, and it may not be, but if it is, you can get a private occupational therapy assessment done. And that might be worth looking at simply because it would let you know, is there a sensory issue there for him? And if so, what can you do? And, you know, because I'm interested, you've done quite a lot of behavior modification stuff. You've talked to him, which is very cognitive. You've done reward charts, taking time out. These are very, you know, left brain, cognitive behavior management strategies. If there is a sensory dysregulation, they're not going to work.
Yeah.
And because he has no control.
The things that they even mentioned there, the soft enough jumper and the colours of things.
Exactly. And that, you know, you think, well, this worked yesterday, why isn't it working today? Well, probably because it's 1 or 2 degrees warmer or colder, and that could be enough to be a tipping point. So what was successful yesterday isn't today. So aside from that, I mean, all the children are very close in age, and he may be feeling he's simply not getting enough, even though you are managing incredibly to spend individual time with them. He is also developmentally competing with his siblings as well. So you've a couple of contributing factors, but it's the pattern in this that I'd be looking at. Let's at least rule out a sensory issue.
Yeah. Right. Next question. This is quite a long one, but there's a reason why it's long, because they want to kind of tell us all the things they've tried. And it is a relatively common problem. I'm not exaggerating when I say I am at my wit's ends. My very strong-willed and smart little girl, 4.5 years, has never successfully toilet trained with poo. She's toilet trained for wee easily and has never wet the bed. She has always hated poops and I've tried everything. She developed functional constipation and required large doses of laxatives, which is difficult to balance correctly. There is no medical issue, and that is certain. I've read every paper I can find on encopresis in the last 2 years. We have tried encouraging to sit in the toilet after meals, rewards big and small, taking toys away, a poo jail system supported in one paper, what the hell that is, totally ignoring it, threatening to take her out of school as it is not possible to maintain this currently, dietary treats, Movicol, liquid paraffin, suppositories, literally holding her down to administer the sneaky poo system and videos for kids. I am at a point where I don't know what to do. This is making me anxious and low, and I dread the phone ringing in case it's school. I'm afraid to let her go to swimming classes. She can't have a play date. It has ruined every day and out of holiday recently. I've had a younger child who was one and ignored all the time, as this takes over everything, although the issues preceded his birth. I love her and I tell her so every day and hour, but this is horrendous, especially the last 6 months. I can't get her to go into the clinics in a timely manner. I can't find a psychologist to help us, and it's eroding our marriage now. I'm seriously considering taking her out of school. I know this sounds so melodramatic when it's read out, and I think, thank my lucky stars, I have a healthy child, but I'm at the point where I know I'm damaging her and I don't know how to help her anymore. Oh, crikey.
God, I really feel for this parent, because that is truly somebody at their wit's end. And this is such a difficult symptom. It is common. And I think sometimes knowing that is a hindrance, not a help, because it's almost like people
everyone
seek to
else
dismiss
has done
you
it,
and go,
I?
Oh, sure, look, that's really common. Don't worry about it. If you are dealing with cleaning up poop multiple times a day, every day, and dreading the phone ringing and those kinds of feelings, this is really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. So, but apart from that, what really struck me in this one is the power this young child has over everybody in her life.
Yeah.
That is incredible power for a child to hold. She is consuming parents' thoughts, all your focus. She's, you know, hijacking focus that you feel you should be given to your one-year-old, who you say is being ignored. It's all about her, and it's all about this symptom. And while I, again, empathise and understand how that has come about, why would she let go of a symptom that affords her such a powerful position?
Yeah.
You know, that, and I don't expect you to text in with an answer to that. I'm literally saying, why would you? Why would any of us surrender such a powerful position? I think you have to find a way to disempower the symptom. I think you've got to find a way to take the heat out of it, so to speak, as best you can. Stop doing that long, long list, because there's nothing wrong with any of those individual things. But, you know, some of them are going to be contraindicating each other. Some of them you'll try, they don't work in a few days, abandon it, do something else.
Yeah.
This is almost like go back to the very beginning and start over, as if you were potty training her all over again.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely throw it all out the window and start over. Use one system and stick with that, because this is a child who has achieved, you know, wee training. She is able to use the toilet.
So
she is able to listen to
it.
The concept is there.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're adamant it's not medical, we'd always say that first. Encopresis, you know, is something that can emerge with young children. It typically emerges after 4 years old. And again, typically, not always, but typically when a child has previously achieved bowel training, and it's a regression symptom, and it can accompany things like chronic constipation, dehydration, other symptoms as well. Once a medical cause is ruled out, you're looking at a psychosocial or emotional issue. So the one thing that's not on the list, and you have done the dietary thing, but just for anyone else listening who this might resonate with, you would want to really do lots of fluids. Fiber rich foods are a must, and I would consider, if you haven't done it, sometimes I just think, is there any one thing you can give a parent who's done everything out there? Purchasing, you know, those soft padded toilet seats,
they're
child adapted. Because if you're a child who has, and she has had functional constipation, there's an association with discomfort and pain with sitting on the toilet. And that's a hard association to break. So sitting on a plastic hard seat for a prolonged period of time, isn't that enticing?
It's not, no. And there are padded ones.
And there are padded ones, and you can get them adapted for child size. So that's something that you could look at doing. I always recommend a book like Everyone Poops by Taro Gomi. It's really well illustrated. It's very, very old. You can get it, certainly online you'll get it, but a bookstore could order it in for you. And it's about explaining that pooping is part of life and everybody does it. Mm. And again, it's about going back to basics. Because we all know that achieving a break in emotional encopresis, cooperation of the child is essential, because otherwise the harder you push, excuse the pun, the harder they will withhold.
Yeah, because I suppose the worry she has is that the child will hold it in and damage herself.
Oh no, absolutely. And there is a real fear around that. Yeah. And that is exactly the power. Now, because it is such a messy, unpleasant situation, you've exhausted avenues, and I'm really concerned that it's eroding your marriage at this stage. Mm. That would be a real concern for me, because I think, again, that's way too much power and control to give a young child over your adult relationship. But at this stage, because I think you're worn out, I just think you're done, you're worn out, and I get that. Consider a psychological service input on this one. You could send her to something like play therapy that would do a lot of sensory-based play work with her, and that can achieve a shift in the symptom. It can be very effective. She's at the young age for that, but she would be old enough. But also consider some therapeutic parenting support, which would help you help her. It would affect change in her by working with the parents. Mm. So I think, and again, I don't mean do a parenting course. I mean, consult with somebody who can offer you therapeutic parenting sessions and support. And I think that would help you deal with some of the stress as well. At this stage, I think that's worth doing.
Yeah, she says 4.5-year-old, but she mentioned school. So one assumes she's only
young.
Just started
school. Yeah,
she's young.
And also that this symptom is going on for 2 years. So she was young enough to be training as well.
Yeah.
And that's why a part of me is suggesting abandon all, go back to the beginning.
Yeah. You mean maybe even because like there's a lot to take on when you feel like one thing hasn't been solved, then start school.
Oh, I think it's huge. And I think as well, the demands and the structure that are outside of this little girl, if this is the one thing that she has that she can control, she will hang on tight to it. So I know when, you know, and I've worked with a lot of children with symptoms like this, that when this symptom comes in, the first thing I'm looking at is a whole family approach, because bringing a child to me who is very attached to this symptom because it is affording them some power. It's not that she loves it, but it is affording her power. Before I take that away, I've got to look at, well, what else has she got?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll take a break after that. An 8-year-old not doing their homework.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Joanna Fortune is still with us on the poo question that we were dealing with there. We had huge problems with toilet training and poo. We kept having to abandon it and going back to nappies. He was 5 before it officially stuck, which did prove difficult in terms of school and play dates. Mm. But you need patience and persistence. Nothing you can do. Someone else says, good Lord, that poor child, that poor parent. I'm never having kids. That's not what they want to hear, really. And on the 5-year-old who may have sensory issues, but there seems to be a lot of kind of conflict in the house, at least. Has that kid been allowed to be that choosy? Growing up, we were told you're eating this or nothing at all. You're using that spoon or use your fingers. You're wearing that or we go nowhere, and so on. I was reared on tough love and it did me no wrong.
But you didn't have underlying sensory issues. And that's why I think it's worth confirming or ruling that out first, because otherwise you're expecting something that that child has no control over.
Yes. My 8-year-old has refused to do any homework since she has come back at school. The first week she was back, she said she didn't have any, which I found out to be a lie when the note came home from the teacher. Now, the last couple of weeks, she has sat staring at work she was supposed to be doing instead of doing it. She was never like this last year. Her teacher has spoken with us about it and is adamant it gets done. I don't know how to force her to do it. I have tried bribing her, scolding her, taking away TV. None of it's working.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even thinking about how are you going to force her to do it? No, because that's going to bring in a power struggle. Bribing her? No, stop that. Scolding her? Stop all of that, because it's not really your job to get her to do the homework. I mean, look, first and foremost, I'd be saying, have you asked her why she doesn't want to do it? Because she's 8 years old. Homework isn't new to her as a concept, but certainly I'm guessing this is a child who may be in about second class now. So the expectation and the amount of homework and the demand within it has certainly increased from what she's used to having. Nail my colours to the mast. I'm not an advocate of homework for primary school age children, because I think when they've done a day's work, they need to come home and play and process everything in their own way. But I appreciate that teachers will assign it with the expectation that parents make sure it's done. So that's utterly unhelpful of me to say. I don't agree with it. So I just think that I would sit at this stage with the teacher and the child, the three of you. So not mum meeting teacher, teacher telling mum homework must be done, and then mum bribing child. I would be saying sit with the teacher and the child, the three or four of you, if the other parent can come as well. Talk through the concept of homework and what's expected. I think it is crucial to get from her what her objection is. It may simply be, I don't want to do it. I want to play outside. I mean, the evenings are still relatively bright and nice. But I would see, you know, what her resistance is and make a deal with her that she sit for 10 to 15 minutes and use a visual timer that we've spoken about before, you know, like those really big egg timer things with the sand that drips down them, that she sit for 10 to 15 minutes. Then she gets a 10 to 15 minute play break. Then she returns for 10 to 15 minutes and then it's done. And whatever gets done in that 20 to 30 minutes is what gets done. And then it is up to the teacher to deal with why can't all the homework get done in that kind of time? Because 20 to 30 minutes is more than enough time for an 8-year-old to be spending at their homework. And I think that's really the best way to do it, because I think she's letting you know, I'm not in the mood to do it, most likely. If it's something more than that, if she's finding, for argument's sake, maths very difficult, then you're better off knowing now because you can proactively do something to help her. Like if it's, I don't understand it, so I'm just not going to do it, you can help her with that. So go in empathically. When I say, you know, ask her why not, don't go in a confrontational, well, why not? Why aren't you doing it way? Go in a more, oh, you did it last year and I'm wondering what's changed.
I wonder, is it because she'd have a new teacher probably?
Absolutely. And this teacher does seem strict and the expectation is solid, do the homework. But I think, you know, and I understand teachers want, you know, kids to practice their sums and practice their words at home. And it's a way of parents being part of what's going on in school. But I think we all just need to manage our expectations of tired 8-year-olds.
Yeah. Sorry, just tweeted a picture of their 8-year-old listening to this homework issue, doing his homework. So good for him.
That looks very organised, though.
Very organised, yeah, sitting at the kitchen table. Good lad. Right. Now, we routinely get this kind of question. These ones are always particularly heartbreaking, I think. My little boy, who is 10, seems to be ostracised from his group of friends. The last while, I noticed that when he came home, he was very withdrawn and quiet. And when I would ask him how his day was, he would say, fine. I tried some leading questions about what happened in school and who he played with that day and what they played. And yesterday he broke down and said that no one has been playing with him for ages. It seems to have been going on the last couple of weeks. I don't know what triggered this. He was mates with about 5 boys in the class, but now they have decided that he can't play with them anymore and he's been left out on his own in the playground. It must be spilling into after school as well, because 3 out of the 5 are in there with him. I wonder, should I leave this in case it blows over, or is it time to talk to the parents to get to the bottom of it?
Oh, the poor little kid. I mean, yeah, it's really hard. And I also think that's quite a sensible approach by the parent, because I think your instinct when your child is let down like that is to go in hell for leather and say, I will sort this out. Yeah. I will rescue you from this pain. But actually waiting and observing is probably the best thing to do. I suppose for me, though, the fact that you've said he broke down when talking about it, it does betray that he's distressed and that this is causing him a significant level of distress. It is particularly unfortunate that so many of them are in his after school, because he's not getting a break from that tension in his day. So that's actually going on for quite a prolonged period of time each day. I'm going to suggest you ask the after school carers to gently observe, or have they observed anything in the last few weeks? I suppose he's 10, and what can happen in terms of friendship formation at this age is that some 10-year-olds seem to emotionally catapult forward and almost be pre-adolescent, and some 10-year-olds are very much still 9/10 years old emotionally.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but what you've got there is a developmental divide that has clicked in, and they may have decided your son is no longer cool with them, or whatever that might be. Now, again, that's a strong inference on my part, because I don't know the details. And if he's not able to tell you, did something happen? Was there an issue in a game? Or, you know, sometimes these issues actually come up when they're playing, you know, interplayer online games, and something happens and people then say, oh, we're not going to play with him anymore, or whatever it is. But I think that that's something to do. Talk to the after school carers first and see if they've noticed anything that could be the cause, and consider then the same with the teacher. But make sure you're saying to the teacher, you're simply trying to understand it better. You're not making a complaint about these other kids. And then I would invest in who else he could be playing with, you know, suggest he invites somebody new over to play in your house. help him redirect his attention away from the kids who don't want to play with him towards kids he could play with. Something like a shared interest that he has with others. But if something more sinister transpires, if there is something else going on, then yes, then it would be time to bring the other parents into the conversation. I suppose I'm urging you to take it in this kind of step-by-step way, because it shows that you're taking it seriously for him and you're acting, but you're not jumping in and taking over in case it's something very minor that the kids will work out in the next few days and you will have compromised yourself by involving all the adults prematurely. But I certainly would do something, and then I would keep an eye and escalate my action as needed.
Yeah. All right. One more quick one. I had a baby last month, but our three-year-old is miserable about it. She was very unhappy at the prospect of the baby throughout my pregnancy, despite us trying to keep her involved and lavishing attention on her all the time. Now she keeps telling us that she hates the baby and how much she hates us. She used to be such a happy little girl, and this really has changed her. I feel terrible every time I give the baby attention over her when he needs it. She has started throwing almighty tantrums in the last few days also, so I'm at my wit's end.
Oh, and I mean, you're 4 weeks after having a baby, so your wits are limited, let's be honest, at that stage. I mean, in all likelihood, you know, she doesn't hate the baby. She doesn't even hate you, but she very much probably hates the disruption that this baby has brought into her world.
Yeah.
So it might be nice to reflect to her saying, you hate how this is feeling. You hate that you don't have me all to yourself anymore. You really want to have more time one to one. So you want to positively reframe that back to her so that she can move away from saying she hates you and the baby. A month is really recent. I would really manage your expectations. It would certainly take a good 6 to 8 weeks for your three-year-old to even remotely adjust to this monumental change.
Right, okay. It's early days yet.
It's very early, but they've also got to adjust to the permanence that this baby is here for keeps. This wasn't a novelty thing and someone's going to come and take the baby away. I'm always interested with toddlers who react like this. How did it go when you went in to have the baby? Did she wake up and you were simply gone from the house? Because that's really scary.
Yeah.
Or did she get to wave you bye-bye and understand mommy's gone into hospital and she's coming back and there will be a baby? Or was it, where is mommy? Mommy's gone. And then you appeared with this baby. So that can be really, really disruptive for them. Be patient and tolerant, but hold a boundary over what behaviour is and isn't okay. You've got to do that. If you have someone in the family who could make an extra special fuss over her, nominate them, drag them in and use them at the moment. And then let her hear you talking her up to the baby, so that you're talking to the new baby boy saying, oh, wait till I tell you the amazing thing your sister does, and your sister's so funny, and your sister's so, and that you're telling stories about her that she can hear, but that you're bigging her up to the baby. I think that can be helpful. Give her little tasks to do while you're changing the baby. Let her change Teddy or Dolly and tell her a story about when you did that for her, because she will experience, this baby's getting something that I never got, because she won't consciously remember being a baby and being cared for in this very close way. And you know, talk maybe a little bit about how now that you've got another baby, your heart has grown bigger and that there's still the same amount of love in there for her as there always was. But because your heart is bigger, there's extra love that you can give the baby as well. So that you're all the time trying to reflect, this baby didn't steal anything from you.
Yes. Yeah.
Just
come back to that homework issue for the 8-year-old. My son would not do it, and I dove deeper and we found out that he was having trouble with spelling.
Yeah.
Was embarrassed to do the spelling. I twigged it and had him tested. Turned out he was dyslexic. Not saying this is the same problem, but keep an eye out.
That's actually what I'd be wondering about. Yeah. Is some part of the homework, as the expectation has increased, gotten too hard?
Yeah, though someone else says, I'm a parent and a primary school teacher and I don't agree with homework. I felt so strongly about it that I did a research thesis on it, which showed it has no benefits other than homeschool connections. We are stuck with a system of assigning homework and have to adhere to school policies where there is nothing to prove it's effective.
I agree with that entirely.
Yeah, and you're not the first person in this lot. I don't think we've ever had a parenting person on, expert who says, oh, homework is a great idea.
No, it's a disaster and it causes tension at home. Yeah.
Right, Joanna, thanks a million for coming into us. Joanna Fortune there. We're going to take a break. After that, happy birthday, Google.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.